Okay, for all the scholars who are here. What we're going to do is a review of the sixth canto. I did have some feedback asking that people not be asked to switch papers but grade their own or mark their own quizzes on these, so we will do that. Anything to get more. Okay, so we're going to start by getting a blank sheet of paper, please. Anybody need some paper? All right, okay. And kindly put your name and the date on it. And then... Nanda Kumar, are you prepared for this? Okay. Okay. So, kindly begin by writing down the two verses from the sixth canto that we memorized, 6.1.15 and 6.3.31, Sanskrit and English if possible, English if not. And for those of you who have not studied or prepared for this, feel free and look through your book. You can take a look at those two verses. Just don't show them to anyone who's trying to put them down from memory, okay? 6.1.15 and 6.3.31. Anyone need more time to write down the verses? Okay, take another minute or two. We never have such an enthusiastic group of kitchen volunteers on a canto review day. They're in there laughing, having good. Yes, we never have better breakfast. Can't do review day. Okay, we're going to have 10 questions from the sixth canto, and the first one is, what was Maharaj Parikshit's question at the very beginning of the sixth canto? What question did he ask Sukadeva Goswami at the very beginning of the sixth canto? This ties in with the theme from the previous canto. So paraphrase it, best of your understanding. Okay, question two. Devotional service uproots the weeds of sin, just like what? What is the analogy that's given in the sixth canto? In other words, devotional service gets rid of even the desire to commit sinful activities, just as what? What is the allegory or analogy which is presented? Devotional service uproots the desire to commit sin just as thoroughly and effectively as what? Question three. Two-part question. What does the name Daksha mean? And why is he called Daksha? What does that name mean, and why is he referred to with that particular name? Okay, question four. Why were the Yamadutas surprised to see the Vishnudutas when they had come to take Ajamil out of his body, when they had come to deliver his karmic reactions? Why were the Yamadutas surprised to see the Vishnudutas when they came for Ajamil? Question 5. According to Yamaraj, what is the source of religious principles? According to Yamaraj, when questioned by the Yamadutas, what is the source of religious principles? The origin. What is the origin of religious principles? Okay. Question 6. Why did Tvasta create Vritasura? Why did Tvasta create Vritasura? Be as thorough as you can. Name names, events, as thoroughly as you can. So why did Tvasta create Vritasura? Question 7. Why are a devotee's possessions never to be compared to those of a non-devotee? Why are a devotee's possessions never to be compared to those of a non-devotee? Question 8. Very easy one here. Who was Vritasura in his previous life? Question 9. What did Angira Rishi predict about King Chitraketu's prospective son? What did Angira Rishi say to him about the son that he wanted to have? And finally, question 10. What was the single name given to the 49 sons of Diti whom Indra tried to kill? What was the name of those 49 individuals? Not all their individual names, just the family name. Okay. So, everyone, please grade yourself very harshly. If we don't trade papers, at least we should trade pens. Color. Hey, no, I'm just kidding. So that you. They all have to be red pens so nobody can write in. Oh, yeah, that's what I meant to say. Okay, question one. What is Parikshit Maharaj's question at the beginning of the sixth canto? Yes, after hearing the description of hell in the fifth canto, he said, Parikshit Maharaj is very compassionate. He says, that's terrible. How can people avoid going to hell? Good. Question two. Devotional service removes sins like weeds are uprooted just as the sun dissipates the fog. Question three. What does daksha mean? And why was he called that? Progenitor. He was an expert progenitor, yes. So he was expert at populating the universe. Pardon me? 5 points. Yes. Yes, if you only got half of that, yeah, give yourself 5 points. Okay. Question four. Why were the Yamadutas surprised? Yes, Jamila was not only very sinful in his entire life, he had nothing to show them. That's not exactly why they were surprised. Well, that's fair, yeah. They thought Yamaraj never could make a mistake. Huh? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they didn't imagine anyone could surpass him. That's fair enough. What I was really getting at is that Ajamil had never been anything but practically never been anything but an extremely degraded person. So, but that's all right. You're saying they didn't imagine anyone could surpass Yamaraj's authority. So what is the source of religious principles? Yes, that's a little bit misleading question. I said, what is the source? And the answer is, Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. Bhagavan. Yeah. Yeah. All right, as long as Narayan got in there, you're like Ajamil. Yeah, that's the answer is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dharmam tu sakshat. This is what, remember, Yamaraj says to the Yamadutas when they come to him and say, what's going on with Ajamil? And we thought you were the highest authority. And he speaks this verse, which Nanda Kumar spoke on. Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranita. So Bhagavan is the real source of religious principles. I said what just to throw you off, instead of saying whom. Yes, T.T., is it? Yes, as long as Krishna is there in some way or other. Question six. Why did Tvastha create Vritasura? To avenge the death of his son, Vishvarup, at the hands of Indra, yes. And why did Indra kill Vishvarup? Yes, he was skimming. He was murmuring secret mantras to the demons while he was supposed to be doing sacrifice for the demigods. All right, good. And question seven. Why are a devotee's possessions never to be compared to those of a non-devotee? Spiritualized by using in Krishna service. Good. Any other? Given by and used for Krishna. Good. They use everything in the service of Krishna. All very good answers. Okay. Remember, Sesha Prabhu spoke on that. Right, so such possessions are never to be considered material. And question eight. Who was Vritasura in his previous life? Chitraketu. Question 9, why did Angira Rishi predict, or what did he predict about King Chitraketu's sons? Yes, happiness and lamentation, Harsha Shoka. Said, yes, we'll arrange for you to get a son, but this son will give you happiness and distress. Question 10, and what was the name of the 49 sons of Diti? The Maruts. M-A-R-U-T-S, Maruts. Don't, in India, don't they have Marutis? Is that, is there any connection there? Is it? Ah, it means wind. You know what happened to these 49 Maruts after they were born? Any idea? They became Vaishnavas, even though they were sons of Diti. Okay, good. So who got 100%? Oh, test is too easy. Okay. Yes, it's gone way up. He said when we grade our own papers, the score has improved dramatically. Okay, how about 90% or better? Which one did you miss? Well, 5 points. And how about 80%? Okay, good. What were the difficult questions for you, Prabhu? I see. The meaning of daksha. Yeah, expert. Okay. Very good. So how was this test? Was this helpful? Should we take a minute and just read over the summary of the sixth canto just to refresh our memories? In fact, why don't we go through all 19 chapters? Why not? There's time. Derek, you'd like to start? Just these brief chapter summaries of all 19. She's broken it into four sections: Ajamil, Daksha, Vritasura, and Chitraketu. So that's page 55.
Chapter 1. The Yamadutas arrest the sinful Ajamil at the time of his death, but because he helplessly chants the name Narayana, the Lord sends the Vishnudutas to rescue him.
Why don't we do two each?
Chapter 2. Because of his association with the Vishnudutas, Ajamil, his original consciousness arose, gives up everything and goes to Hardwar, where he engages in undeviated devotional service. At the end of his life, the Vishnudutas arrive, seat him on a golden throne and transport him to Vaikuntha Loka.
Can we take just a moment about Sanskrit pronunciation? That name Ajamil is a good example. The A without a long, without the bar over it, sounds like the O in English word like con, or say dawn, dawn, D-O-N, dawn. And the A with the dash over it sounds like the A in the name Dan. Don and Dan. So, Ajamil.
So, it's not Ajamil? Ajamil?
No, Ajamila.
Ajamil?
Ajamila, actually. Ajamila. Yeah, it should be Haridwar. Yeah, that's me. Yeah. Yeah, we'll comment on that. And I didn't mean to pick on you, Derek. Don't misunderstand. We often mispronounce these A's. So this is a good reason why. It's just good to watch the screen while you have the opportunity, because many of the songs, many of the mantras that we chant, we mispronounce chronically. It's because we heard them that way growing up in our Krishna consciousness. So when you have the opportunity, just go ahead and read them off the.
When we do our verse of the week, like we all say it at once, one time together when we first get it, can maybe like you say it by, you know, singly by yourself first, so we can hear how it sounds before everybody's saying it, you can't really hear.
I will do that, although I'm not great at Sanskrit pronunciation, but I'll be glad to do it.
Somebody just do it once, go through it so somebody can hear it without everybody saying it. Sometimes I don't understand it, I'm not sure.
Okay. You know, everyone like that? The verse of the week? Responsibly? Okay. All right, very good.
Yamaraj instructs his messengers not to approach a pure devotees of the Lord. who have fully surrendered to the Lord's lotus feet. Chapter 4. Concerned that the population is not properly increasing, despite his having created all the demigods, demons and human beings, Daksha goes to the Vindhya mountain. There he undergoes severe austerities and offers Lord Vishnu the Hamsa Guhya prayers. Lord Vishnu becomes very pleased with him.
Narada Muni preaches to all of Daksha's sons to leave home and take sannyas. Daksha becomes angry and curses him to be unable to stay anywhere permanently.
You do two? Two each.
Two.
Okay. Prajapati Daksha begets 60 daughters who get married and have many offspring. Thus the universe becomes filled with various kinds of living entities. Human beings, demigods, demons, beasts, birds, and serpents. Kashyapa's wife, Aditi, gives birth to the demigods.
Chapter 7. Indra offends his spiritual master, Brihaspati. So Brihaspati leaves the demigods, who then have no priest. At the request of the demigods, Vishvarup, the son of the Brahmin Twashta, becomes their priest. Chapter 8. Vishvarup describes to Indra the glories of the Narayan Kavacha. One chants the verses of the Narayan Kavacha to the eight-armed Vishnu sitting on the shoulders of Garuda, and whoever chants this prayer is never disturbed or put in danger by the government, by plunderers, by evil demons, or by any type of disease.
When Indra discovers that Vishvarup is secretly worshipping the demons, Indra beheads him. Vishwarupa's father, when performs a sacrifice to get a son to kill Indra, and the fierce Richarsura appears from the sacrificial fire. Chapter 10. At the end of the Satya Yuga and the beginning of Treta Yuga, a great fight takes place between the demigods and the Asuras. The Asuras flee and leave Richarsura to fight alone.
Chapter 11. Indra throws his club, but the heroic Vitrasura easily catches it with his left hand and uses it to beat back Indra's elephant. The elephant falls with Indra on its back. Chapter 12. Vitrasura then assumes a gigantic form and swallows Indra. Being protected by the Narayan Kavacha, Indra survives even within Vitrasura's body. Thus he emerges from Vitrasura's abdomen and severs the demon head with his powerful thunderbolt. But this takes 1 year to accomplish.
And why was Richarsura considered more fortunate than Indra, in spite of...
Because he went back to that
body. Yes, he went back. And he was very eager to die. In fact, one of the Acharya's comments that Richarsura actually died when Indra exited from his body. So he was, before the head was cut off, he had already gone back to Godhead.
Chapter 13. Indra understands that for killing a Brahmin, he is entangled in sinful reactions. Indeed, he sees a sinful reaction personified pursuing him. Thus, he flees in fear and considers how to counteract his sins. Shukadeva Goswami describes Ritasura's previous life as King Chitraketu. Upon the birth of his son, King Chitraketu, his wife Krita Duti, and most of the residents of the palace are very happy. The co-wives, however, are envious and poison the child. Chitraketu is overwhelmed by the shock of his son's death. Then Narada and Angira arrive to teach him transcendental knowledge.
The great saints Angira and Narada explain that the relationship between father and son is not factual. It is simply a representation of the illusory energy, a temporary arrangement of the Supreme Lord. Chitraketu becomes peaceful when Narada brings his dead son back to life, in chapter 16, and the boy explains that no one is actually his mother and father. After being initiated by Narada Muni, King Chitraketu chants the Mahavidya mantra, and within a week he attains the darshan of Lord Shankarshan. The Lord is nicely dressed in bluish garments, with a helmet and ornaments of gold. His face appears very happy.
One day while flying in his airplane, Chitraketu comes upon Lord Shiva embarrassing Parvati in an assembly of Siddhas, Charanas and sages. Seeing Lord Shiva in that situation, Chitraketu loudly laughs. Parvati becomes very angry at him and cursed him. Thus Chitraketu is later born as a demon with Vitrasura.
Just to interrupt a moment, can anyone recall the verse that we did yesterday when Parvati curses him and Chitraketu comes and says, okay, I accept it, I'll be a demon. Right, Narayana Parak Sarve, Nakutaschana Bibhiti, one who is a Narayana Para, who has nothing but God in his life. Swarga Pavarga, that person, heaven and hell are the same. They go on doing the same thing wherever they are, and that is devotional service. Prabhupada said, I am like an ektar, this Indian musical instrument. It's just a string on like a gourd. And it just plays one note. It's used like a percussion instrument. Dun, 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 dun. But he said he compared himself to that. He says, because wherever you put me, I'm just going to talk about Krishna.
Diti, the mother of the Asuras, performed the Pumsavana Vrata to get a son who can kill Indra. One day Indra happens to see her deviating from devotional service, and he enters her womb and cuts her son into 49 parts. In his way, the 49 kinds of air known as Maru appear. But because Diti performed Vaishnava rituals, all the sons become Vaishnavas.
Are these the same as the life airs, 49 kinds of airs, do you know? Yes. Let me introduce, for those who have not met him, this is Dustin Nash, visiting.
Nash, yes, Dustin.
It sounds like a country singer for some reason. I know you're not, but you're from Michigan.
You're getting the mic for the country singer. Chapter 19, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. The Pumsavana Varata, which is regulated devotional service to Vishnu, is a process by which a husband and wife worship Sri Sri Lakshmi Narayan for obtaining a son. This process is described in detail.
Right, and this ends the sixth canto. Dustin is here for a couple of weeks to check out the Krishna house. You're welcome. Hope you have a good time. And so the sixth canto is compared to which part of Krishna's anatomy? Right, his chest or his trunk. Why is that? Because the heart is there. What is the heart of Srimad Bhagavatam? Yes, the chanting. So because this ajamil pastime particularly takes place there, this is considered to be the heart of Krishna's body, the holy name. Remember we talked about the sacrifice. Who was the personality in the sixth canto who made this great sacrifice at the request of the demigods? Yeah? Dadichi, yes. Right, because Lord Vishnu has instructed Indra that if you want to defeat these demons, you have to get this weapon, and you will need the bones of Dadichi to get it. And so when he approached Dadichi, Dadichi said, what are you talking about? I can't possibly give up my body. How will I enjoy sense gratification? Everybody needs their body. He was pulling his leg. He wanted to hear the demigods speak about religious principles, which they did very piously. So they wanted his body so they could protect their bodies, basically. So this self-sacrifice, that was the theme in that section. So, okay. Any other comments about the sixth canto? 19 chapters, yes? Right. The question is, in these two verses we learned from the sixth canto, one of them says that just by performing devotional service, one can uproot sins, and the other one says that the holy name can uproot the reactions of greatest sins. So, which kind of uprooting is going on? Are they different uprootings? Are they related? What is the relationship? Well, let me ask, what is the meaning of the Maha Mantra. Yeah. Is that Bart's book right there? No? Okay, got it. You have it, Bart? Okay. Yes, please, the meaning again of chanting is? Yes, please let me engage in your devotional service. So that's, if that prayer is fulfilled, then we are able to engage in service and uproot the sins, or the desire to commit sin. In other words, one may chant, but if one doesn't engage in devotional service, then one will naturally be inclined again to commit sinful activities, because we have to do something. As Krishna says in the Gita, you know, no one can maintain themselves without doing something, even for a moment. So if we are so fortunate that Krishna fulfills our request, then we will engage in devotional service. So both things are required to uproot the reactions of sins. But the chanting, because it leads to devotional service, it is also considered, it is also described as uprooting sinful reaction. Yeah. How does he fulfill our desire to, if we are chanting sincerely, please engage me in your devotional service, and Krishna is so kind to fulfill that request, then how does he engage us? Yes. Yes. that is that's a very good question. And there is no hard and fast answer, because Krishna engages everybody according to his pleasure if he is so kind to accept us. You know, there's a kind of devotional service in the third canto described in the mode of ignorance. So one of the qualities of devotional service in the mode of ignorance is one thinks that this particular kind of service is the all in all. Unless you do this service, you're not really serving Krishna, you know. There's this service and that service, but that's for the lesser devotees. See? So at the same time, in one of the many paradoxes in the Bhagavad Gita, at the end, Krishna says, Nacha tasmin manuseshu kaschan me priyakritama. In other words, no one more dear to me than one who speaks the message of Bhagavad Gita to the devotees. Right? So on the one hand, devotional service is all equal. On the other hand, Krishna does have his preferences. On one hand, Krishna is equal to everybody. On the other hand, he likes the devotees. So that's why the acharyas say all contradictions are reconciled in the absolute truth. And he's a person, so he can have preferences. So to say that Krishna will engage us in one particular way is a misunderstanding. And we may not understand the devotional service of another devotee. But it may be very, very dear to Krishna. So we should be very cautious about trying to evaluate other services objectively. Subjectively, though, how does Krishna engage you? I mean, I like to ask Paul the same, you know, comment on this, because could we get the mic to him, please?
Sometimes Prabhupada would give the description that by the grace of Krishna, one gets the mercy of the spiritual master. And then by the mercy of the spiritual master, one will obtain Krishna. So by chanting Hare Krishna, when Krishna sees that we're sincere, what he'll do is he'll lead us to his bona fide representative. He'll bring us closer and closer and closer to the spiritual master. And then by doing like that, then the spiritual master, who's known as the external manifestation of the Lord here in the material world, will then engage us very specifically and directly in some particular service.
Could you explain the three kinds of spiritual masters also?
Yes. The Vartma Pradarshana Guru is the one who introduces one to Krishna consciousness. Vartma Pradarshaka. Is that how you say it properly?
Yes, one who shows the path.
He's the one who shows us the way, that the difference between matter and spirit, that we're not of this material world, we're a spirit soul trapped within the material energy, shows us the path. Then the second type of spiritual master is called the Shiksha Guru, and he's one who gives instruction to us on a regular basis. normally will give me instruction how to serve Krishna. Then the third type is the Diksha spiritual master, who agrees to accept all of our karma and initiates us into devotional service, formal initiation.
So in other words, then, as you were saying, if one is very sincere in that prayer, please engage me in your service, then Krishna brings one to the association of someone who can engage them. Vartma means path, and pradarshika, like darshan, like showing, the one who shows the path. Vartma pradarshika. Pat pradarshika, or Vartma pradarshika, I see. Yes. Anybody who is pious and wants to advance in their spiritual life is a devotee. You know, so that verse is distinguished. So that may be somebody just right off the street who's never heard of Krishna, but they're very interested in progressing in spiritual life. On the other hand, somebody who's very committed, like we're reading in the verse for this week, Matir na Krishna Parata Svatova. Itovi padyeta grihavratanam, right? They have taken a great vow of determination to be in material life. Grihavratanam. So they are not devotees because they have no interest in spiritual advancement. Okay? So it's a very broad definition in that. All right. Any other comments or questions about the sixth canto? Does that answer your question? Yeah, so if we're very sincere, Krishna will bring us to the association of someone who can help us if we're chanting sincerely. Please. Mic? Where's the mic?
The first shloka about Kechit Kevalya Bhakta is saying that if you take a devotional service, in general, there are 9 types of devotional service. So if you take to any one of them and perfect it, it's capable of removing the sin, uprooting the sin. And second verse is specifically talking about the chanting process, which is special among the 9 in the Kali Yuga. So this is the most effective in Kali Yuga. But in general, any 9 can save. So this can be.
So that's a very good comment. So.
Yeah, so I'm saying that first is talking about all the processes. Mm-hmm. Second is specifically talking about one limb of the service.
Yes, about the holy name. Yes, so this is an excellent point. Any comments on that? You see what he's saying? There are 9 processes, but chanting is specifically emphasized here in this pastime of Jamyal particularly. Use the mic, please.
In Bhaktivasamrita Sindhu, it is stated the ultimate principle of devotional service is somehow or other one should remember Krishna, and everything else is subordinated to this principle.
Yeah. Somehow or other one should remember Krishna. Yena tena prakarena, that verse. Mana Krishna veshaya. Somehow or other think of Krishna. The rules and regulations can come later. So is that putting remembering smaranam above kirtanam? You remember Krishna. So all of the processes are achieved by chanting in a way.
I don't know where it is found. Is it all the Vedic scriptures, all the instructions are revolving around these 2 main principles. Always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna.
Yes, it's in the same place. It's a nectar of devotion.
Na vismritu kashchana, something like that.
Yes. Let's see. The 2 strategies for spiritual success, right? Renunciation or marriage. That was the idea. I believe that was the top. That was the section on daksha, right? Yeah, 2 strategies for spiritual success. So, right, daksha was advocating to get married and have propagate and fulfill and fill the universe. Narada Muni was advocating renounce all this immediately. So, those are both viable strategies. That's the point. I'm not sure if that was emphasized a lot in the class. Pardon me? Daksha wanted all of his sons to go and get married and have progeny. And Narada Muni said, why go to all this trouble? So both of them are legitimate. Detachment. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Daksha was saying, by experience, you will achieve detachment. And Narada was saying, you can become detached. Right. So both of those are viable strategies. That's the point. You know, we're thinking in very short linear terms in our conditioned state, and Krishna looks at the long picture. So if we can be progressing, as long as we're progressing, maybe very quickly or maybe slowly, it doesn't matter. We're going forward in our spiritual lives. Either strategy is acceptable. That's the meaning of that class. Okay. Thank you. Prachetas are elsewhere, I believe. Yeah. Yeah. Beginning of the sixth, that's right. They're just briefly mentioned the beginning of the sixth. Yes. 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 I will do that provided Nimai Pandit will make the offering. Is that a deal? Okay. Thank you. Yes. So devotional service that's on time is in the mode of goodness. Devotional service that's 2 minutes late is in the mode of passion. And devotional service that doesn't get on done at all is in the mode of ignorance. What mode is that in? Yes. So there's other characteristics. One of the main one that's emphasized for passion and ignorance is separatist. One who is performing devotional service in the modes of passion or ignorance always wants to be separate from the other devotees. In passion, one is thinking, I am a better devotee, so I am above this association. In ignorance, one is thinking, it's too much hassle to be around the devotees. So therefore, let me just go off somewhere by myself and I'll chant at my own pace and da-da-da. And, you know, that's all devotional service. It's all transcendental activity. It's just the degree of advancement is according to one's mode, you see. And one does have to work through those various stages to come to the point of pure unalloyed devotional service, which is Vishuddha Bhakti, which is totally above the modes, the influence of the modes of nature. There are many other very interesting characteristics described there, but those are some of the prominent ones. In the third canto, the teachings of Lord Kapila, devotional service in the various modes of nature, and there are 81 varieties. So this first in 3 × 3 × 3 × 3. There's devotional service in the mode of passion, and then there's devotional service in the mode of passion in the mode of ignorance. So there's a lot of nuances. I mean, we see that all around us. We're all engaging in devotional service, but there's just different modes of devotional service being expressed. So that's a very scientific discussion of those modes.
If one is performing devotional service in the mode of passion, does not aware of that, he thinks that this is normal.
Yes. Yes. Yes, we'll still make progress, even if we're influenced by the modes, and it's certain that we are. But our progress is checked, or it is limited until we get rid of those particular anartas. So these three modes create the prism that makes the color of our personality and individuality. So it is not that even amongst unalloyed pure devotees, there's great individuality and variety. Like we were talking about Gaur Kishore Das Babaji and Bhaktivinoda Thakur could not be more different, or Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati could not be more different, yet they're both on the altar in our parampara. So the real question is how much we are affected or not affected by the modes. And how explicit and complete is our desire to please Krishna by our activity. Okay, and that will inevitably express in different ways. Okay, we'll end the sixth canto there. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. I would, however, like to extend the class just a couple of minutes on another topic to have a little discussion, if I may. Could you indulge me here? Because this is connected with my service this weekend. I'd like to talk with you about our strategy for next semester, Srimad Bhagavatam.